Episode number 229, Camaro versus Mustang, Price Wars.
Coming to you almost live from the Motor City, Detroit, Michigan, it's the Camaro C28.com podcast with your host Chris Frezza and Jason Debler. Strap in. It's the Camaro C28.com podcast on the air.
Hey, welcome back, everyone, for another episode of the Camaro Z28.com podcast. I'm Chris.
And I'm Jason.
And it feels like we haven't done this show in like 2 weeks.
Well, it's been a week and a half.
Just because we recorded so early the last episode.
Yeah.
Feels like forever.
Yeah.
So does that mean we got tons of stuff to talk about?
We got some things to talk about.
Some things that made news.
Yeah. Geez, man, you trying to start fist fights in the parking lots with the title of our episode this week?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah?
Price wars.
Price wars.
Yeah.
So, according to some of the good Mustang folks in the automotive news section of the Camaro Z28.com message board,
yeah,
the Mustang 2011
yep.
Mustang price guide was leaked. Now, it's not clear as to whether or not the numbers are accurate, but if they are...
Yep. It looks like the Mustang, I mean, without any options, is priced about, what, $1,200 less than... a similarly equipped Camaro, yeah. And I'm going to stress similarly.
What does that mean?
What does that mean?
Does that mean that the Camaro is a better value than we thought, or the Mustang is just saying, well, hey, if Chevrolet can charge this much for a pony car or whatever you want to call it,
yeah. We
can too?
I don't know.
Well, here's my theory. If Ford could price it lower, why wouldn't they?
Right.
So that might tell you that Chevrolet is on par, which we've always said it was, dollar for horsepower per value. The Camaro is a screaming deal, just like it always was.
I believe so.
So it's kind of interesting to see the numbers and how they play out, because what happens if you start adding options?
What happens if you start adding options?
That's right.
Oh, to get it equally equipped to a Camaro?
That's right.
Because I think the Mustang doesn't come with the Brembo brakes. That's an option you have to add, which adds another... $1,000.
Oh.
Then the Mustang actually costs a little bit more than a Camaro.
No.
Yeah.
How could that be?
I don't know.
Camaro's so overpriced.
I don't know. It was a heated topic.
Yeah.
You know, some people say, well, I don't want to buy all that stuff on a Camaro. I'd rather have a 400 horsepower stripper car. I don't know. Right. I wouldn't really call it a stripper car, but
I agree with
minus
that.
Just the brakes.
If it was feasible on the assembly line while still being cost-effective, yeah, I'd agree with that 100%, but it just isn't.
No.
So, yeah.
Pretty neat, though.
It shows you that if you want to onesie-twosie these things, in the end, it'll cost you more.
Right.
That's there you go. So, you know, I'm really glad Ford is doing what they're doing with the Mustang. I think it's great competition. We've talked about this extensively. And this is just one more thing, man. It's keeping the heat on Camaro. Not only that, but it keeps the 2011 Camaro prices in tow.
Yeah, I mean, they did the pricing did just go up a little bit on Camaro.
Very slightly, yeah.
Very slightly, like $150 or something like that.
Right.
Very unnoticeable, actually. And I don't even know why they...
When you bought your first Camaro, it was a 1993 Z28.
Stripper car.
Stripper. No options whatsoever.
None.
And Chris, what was the sticker price on that Camaro?
About $16,000.
$16,000 for a 1993 Camaro Z28.
Yeah.
Now, I remember in 1991, a Cavalier Z24 loaded up was $14,000.
Really?
Yeah, because I wanted one. That was before
I had crank windows on that thing, manual locks, AM, FM cassette.
Ooh, hi-fi. Okay, so it was $16,000 for your 1993.
Yep.
Now, for your 2002.
Okay.
How much was it?
My 2002 SS?
That's right.
Oh, boy. Let's see. I had a couple SLP options on it, so it was over 30. I want to say it was around 30, almost 31.
Okay, so we're talking almost doubling the price between how many years? Seven.
7 years.
7 years.
Yeah.
The price nearly doubled.
Right.
Now, 7 years is the exact same amount of time that passed from the 2002 Camaro to the 2010.
Right.
And the price did what?
It went up, but it only went up. Let's see. What did I pay for my 2010? It was...
34 and change?
Yeah.
Okay.
So the price only went up like $3,000 in 7 years.
In 7 years.
Yeah. For a whole new car. I mean, the whole new car, I mean, from the ground up, brand new.
Yeah.
We're not talking about a fourth gen here.
Safer, faster, and arguably handles better.
Yeah.
Better sound system. Well, we could go on and we can make the whole podcast this issue. So I think what it comes down to, my point in all this comparison and crap, is that what a great time we live in, despite the economic downturn,
right,
to have a muscle car, a performance car, a pony car, whatever you want to say, a performance coupe in the showrooms for the money that it is. Because by all rights, it should be $40,000.
Right.
If you think about it.
And hey, if you want to go with a V6 car, which is nothing really to sneeze at. I mean, over 300 horsepower, which is more than a fourth gen.
Which is more than that, you know, that 2002 that you had.
Or that, I'm talking about the 93,
275
horsepower G28.
Yeah.
And then now you got a V6 car, which is arguably a better architecture, better handling, more horsepower. And it starts at what, 22?
Yeah. So, and the Mustang is right in line, so it's a good time.
That's only $1,000 more than I paid for my 95 Z28. I paid $21,900 for my 95 Z28.
Good gravy. Well, then, damn good job, GM and Ford, for making a pricing model that's, again, the best damn dollar per performance value out there.
Yeah.
Way to go. Yeah. And if anybody disagrees with me, show me some better numbers.
Everybody's a winner.
That's right. There you go.
So Ford's making money. GM's making money.
And we get some bitching cars, man.
We love it.
Yeah. So I can't wait to see what, you know, the Ford, you know, shakes out to be. If the numbers are accurate, if they're, you know, if they're just a guess.
Yeah.
But I hope it turns out well for everybody. So we got to move on here.
Yep.
Nitto. We'll talk about this one. I've got Nitto NT05 tires on my car.
Right, right.
Haven't had a whole lot of chance to really utilize them.
But they're pretty much like drag radials on your car.
They're close. Well, I thought so until now. Nitto came out with the NT05 R drag radial. This is pretty much a slick with a couple of little slits grooved into it. Well, here's the best part.
How'd you like to drive those in the rain?
Well, that's the thing, is that's why I haven't been able to use the NT05s very much, because when I got it back from SEMA, the concrete was very, very cold, a little moist, and getting traction, nah, forget about it. I would have been better off just getting out and running.
Yeah.
So this NT05R drag radial from Nitto, the cool part is it comes in a 315-35-20.
Okay.
It's a 20-inch drag radial.
Sweet.
Now, I remember 2 or 3 years ago when everybody was pretty much crapping their pants about, well, the Camaro have this, well, the Camaro have that, and somebody said, oh, they'll never make a 20-inch drag radial. Oh, where is it? I wasn't ready for it. Hold on. Here we go.
And here we have an NT05 Nitto drag radial.
That's right. And
you knew it was going to happen.
That's what I said. It's going to happen. In fact, they released one, a 20-inch drag radial, back in 2008.
And you got all these thousands of Camaros out with 20-inch wheels. The aftermarket is just going to follow suit. Mm-hmm. So,
this is a DOT compliant. And it says it's their most aggressive drag radial designed for competition use.
Nice.
And it's a good looking tire if you're serious about your racing. So this is going to be a winner for Camaro guys, no question, and Mustang guys too. Yeah. I think the Mustang has 20-inch wheels, right?
I think so.
So anyway, I think it's in one of the post release threads.
Sticky right at the top.
You can definitely find it in the 2010 Camaro News Sightings, Pictures, and Multimedia Forum.
Cool.
Check it out, man. There's a picture right there as soon as you load the thread. It's a aggressive slick. It's a slick. It's a slick with two grooves and some little hash marks in it. That's it. No question about it. Speaking of parts.
Parts?
Do you remember Metco Motorsports?
You know, we were talking about this before the show, and it rings a bell, but I don't remember them.
I believe they made lower control arms for fourth gen F bodies, things like that. I've met the owner of the company once at PRI, I think. Very, very cool people. They need to get their hands on, God, what did they say they needed, Chris?
They need an L99 car to fit a drive shaft loop on. And so if you're in the, what is it, South Carolina
area? Anderson, South Carolina area.
Yeah.
They need a car for about 30 minutes.
Yeah, test fit. For an L99 drive shaft loop.
Yep, they're not going to modify your vehicle at all.
Nope.
So this is posted. Gosh, where was it posted?
It was in the OEM section for the LS3 and L99 drivetrain section.
Okay. All right, so no reply
I'll link
to that.
It up. No.
So if anybody lives in that area and they want, you know, they'll take care of your car. Companies like that, when they borrow somebody's car, they don't, you know, accidentally touch
yeah,
it,
mess around.
Touch it with a blowtorch and burn your paint off, and then whoops. Say, "Whoops, sorry, dude." So get some free parts, man. Free parts is fun.
Yeah,
and you can help out the Camaro community. So what do we got cooking next?
We got a bunch of voicemails. Since we haven't done the show in a week and a half, we've collected up about 5 voicemails, I think.
All right.
So,
well, I love these, so let's kick them off, eh?
Hello, guys. Love the podcast. I have a question about the highest sales numbers ever. You see, it's actually very common for cars to have peaked out in, like, the 1978-1979 time frame. I'm wondering, were there so many more Camaros and Buick Regals and things like that sold at that time just because there were many less different models offered in the market? Basically, there wasn't all these Kia and Hyundai and such in the market to crowd them out? Or you know, what caused the basic, the different breakdown with individual models selling hundreds of thousands of units instead of tens of thousands of units? Love the podcast. Thank you, guys.
Great question.
That's a good one.
Yeah. And I'm not an expert by no means on this topic, but I can only, you know, guess is that could be the reason. I mean, Honda wasn't selling, you know, thousands of units of cars here. Toyota wasn't selling thousands of units of cars here in North America. I mean, North America was the big three. It was Chrysler, GM, and Ford.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yep. And Nissan was Datsun.
So, yeah. I mean,
you know,
there wasn't all, I mean, every manufacturer didn't have a ton of models to choose from either.
Yeah, because of the marketplace, they could afford to, you know, not have to be as competitive. You know, I mean, it's not that they had it easy, but they also, like you said, it was the big three. And that's what powered America, in my opinion. I mean, where I grew up, everybody's dad worked for Fisher Body in Lansing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, everybody. Everybody's dad.
Body by Fisher. I remember seeing that on all the cars.
That's right. You know, I mean, and it was a time when if you worked for GM, it was a great thing. You had a career for the rest of your life.
Right.
You know, and people raised good families. They bought a new truck every 2 years. You know, they put all that money they made on the assembly line or whatever they did back into the economy. Well, now, that because they have to be more competitive, they got to cut down. And it's kind of sad, but it's just the way business works.
Right.
Heading into that, I got a point here that I'm going to make, actually, believe it or not.
Okay.
Scott Settlemyer would always say, in regards to why can't you know, make it so I can pick this option and that option? He said, because of the competition in the marketplace. We can't price the car effectively enough because of who we have to compete with. And that's why we're at where we're at. So blame Toyota.
Well, it's a global economy nowadays. It's not a North American, not even a U.S. economy anymore in terms of the automotive industry. It's more global nowadays. Everything's produced overseas in Mexico and India and China. And, I mean, believe it or not, GM is selling a ton of vehicles in China. Ton.
Well, I guess that's good.
Yeah.
I mean, because we have to. If GM didn't sell vehicles in China, they'd go out of business.
Yeah. I mean, it's a global economy.
It has to be that way. I miss the old days, you know.
We're just evolving,
Fisher, but you know what?
We're evolving.
In the business world, you have to be flexible. You have to take the shape of water and adapt to whatever you're at.
Right.
And speaking, since we're talking about it briefly, apparently there's a shizen load of Toyota recalls going on right now.
Wow, they announced just over 2 million more this week with some problem with the gas pedal, which I guess is separate from the other recall they did on the couple million. That hit the floor mat problem with the
something like that, yeah.
In the accelerator, ooh.
However,
ouch.
General Motors kicking ass and taking names. Yeah. Ford is doing great.
Holy cow!
Ford is doing great. Chrysler
car of the year, truck of the year,
yeah.
Both in the same.
Yeah. So you know what? Maybe this is that American Revolution that we were talking about. So probably our longest answer to a voicemail yet. So let's move on to the next one. Thank you for the voicemail, buddy.
Hey guys, back more calling in. Haven't talked in a while, but sold the Synergy Camaro, thought I'd say a few things about it. It is available for the V6 only, of course, at this time, but knowing GM, they might open it up and all, you know, if demand. Got a few ideas why they would do that. One, the special order car, they don't actually build them until someone orders them, so really no reason for that. It might be a few trims here and there. You have to fiddle around with the options. That might be a little hard, but hey, it's Oshawa. They can do anything. Or Oshawa, I don't know. Two, there's the demand for it already. I mean, ever since SEMA, I see it on the message boards everywhere. And three, it's a profit-earning item. $2,000 extra. Come on. Paint and some other trim. You can't deny the car that. Or the idea, actually. It was. $2,000 just does not happen in the car world. Might as well do it. There is a reason against it, though. One being, customers can now shy away from the V6, which is what it was supposed to push them towards, since we know GM needs them to buy that to stay profitable with it. Because once they buy and they see, hey, it's decent, you know, blah, da, da, whatever, they got to be the cream of that. They can't just live on a V8. We all know how that ended. Well, thanks for listening. Hope somebody picks it up soon on CamaroZ20.com. Takes a few photos, because really, the color, what I've seen at CMF pictures and online, dude, I'd need to see this thing in person or some good quality pictures. I don't know, maybe Debler pick one up, or Chris, you know, guys, whatever, I don't know. Pick up an extra one, you know, tuck it away, sell it at Barrett Jackson or something. It's coming up soon, actually. It is coming up soon. Just let everybody know. All right, have fun. Peace out.
All right.
Deckmore!
All right.
What's going on? Me pick one up?
No.
No, dude, I'm broke.
There were some good points he made there for and against.
Yeah.
The Synergy like Green car.
I like him. You okay?
I'm okay. Yeah, personally, I don't like it.
What, the green?
I don't.
You know,
I've seen it in person.
That's the problem, is that... Well, go ahead.
What I can say is I can see why somebody would like it, though.
Mm-hmm. It has a nice pearl to it.
Yeah, it's got nice, and the cyber gray stripes look really good with the color. And other than that, what else is different? The stitching? There's green stitching and
the
then
green
the panels.
Yeah. You know, it rounds it out nicely.
Yeah.
Just like the Camaro concept and everything, we strongly encourage people, before they can actually form their opinion, is to wait until you see it in person. It does not photograph well at all. Sometimes it looks Kermit green, sometimes it looks like baby puke green in photos, but yeah. In reality, it's a nice...
Vibrant green.
Vibrant pearl green. Yeah. It's a neat color. I wouldn't buy it.
No.
Dackmore, why don't you get one?
Yeah.
Big stuff? Come on, whip out that wallet. See what you can pull off. Take some real pictures. Show the world. Shock the world. Thanks, buddy.
Okay. You ready for the next one?
Why not?
Hey, guys. I just listened to your podcast today. This is David from Ohio, and I'm a 50-year-old guy. Just got me a Camaro. I'm a 2010. It's the V6, but... not the V8, but I really like it. But I was wondering if you guys know if there's any cold air induction kits, you know, with the open air element for the V6. I know there is for the V8, but can you give me some direction on that? I've looked on every site, Canon, Air Raid, all kind of sites, but I haven't found anything. And my other question was if you guys know anything about motor coats. And putting it in the oil, because we have motor coat down here at some of the stores. And the podcast is really cool. I love my Camaro. I've had an 85 IROC Camaro, had a 74, 77, 78, and also a 98. So I know what you're talking about on the plenum of the Mass Floor, since we're right after it's there. So really appreciate your podcast. Thanks a lot. And I'm heading home from work on the grave shift. 2010 forever. See you guys later. Bye.
I don't think he's ever called in before.
No. Awesome to hear from him.
Awesome.
He was driving.
Yeah.
And listening to us on the ride home. So what was the first part? The cold air intake?
Yeah, cold air intake. For a V6 car. I believe Air Raid makes one.
I think you're right.
Yeah, I think I've seen someone post about an Air Raid cold air induction kit for the V6 2010 Camaro. So check their website again.
We expected the V6 2010 Camaro market to explode, and it hasn't.
Yeah.
And it could be because most
80% of the people
bought
V8 so
far. Right. But I think that, and I think it's a popular theory that as the V8 sales will start to taper down and the V6 sales pick up, I think we're going to see a lot more of an introduction of V6 2010 Camaro parts. In fact, I was just asked this question by an old friend of mine named Gary Pazikowski, who Jake Robb, who we haven't heard from in a long time, works with. And he asked me the same question about V6 intakes, and I didn't really have a good answer for him.
Yeah.
So Air Raid's a place to start. I got to think that it would probably do some decent horsepower.
You
got to
believe K&N has got to come out with something as well.
Yeah, K&N always makes a pretty decent one. I mean, I think they're all the same when it really comes down to it. I mean, if you learn about intake pressure, you know, and you'll find out what works and what doesn't.
Yeah.
What was the other thing you talked about?
The oil additive.
Yeah, motor coat. I'm familiar motor with coat. Motor coat. I've actually used motor coat in one of my vehicles a long time ago.
Yeah.
I myself don't advise anything like that because it's not really necessary. I mean,
for the extra oil additives.
The demonstrations and, you know, they had the bearing machine where they put, you know, the bearings grind together.
Yeah.
And they seize or whatever. And then they put the motor coat or the slick 50. Yeah. It's the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody knows what motor coat is, it's spelled with a K, K-O-T-E. And it was developed in Lansing, Michigan, in that area, actually, Charlotte, I think. My dad used to know the owner of it a long, long time ago. They do that, but they don't. An engine works different than just a standard bearing in a lever system. You know, an engine has been going on. You know, there's so many engines out there that use regular freaking oil that work just fine.
Yeah.
You know, use a good oil, change it between 3 and 5. I do 5 on my daily driver. I don't buy into the 3,000-mile thing. Change the filter and just keep an eye on things, and it'll do just as good, if not much better, than any additive you can add.
Yeah.
Maintenance is the key.
Yeah.
So that's my opinion.
In fact, a lot of dealerships will note, too, in their service records that if you use any of the additive in your oil, that's mm-hmm. grounds to void your warranty if anything should happen to your engine.
Right, if it doesn't like the combination of it. I mean,
right.
They pick the materials in the engine to go with a certain type of motor oil, and that's why they recommend something, because that's what they know they've tested with it for it to be good for longevity.
Right.
You introduce something that they didn't expect, and you might be asking for trouble. You might not, but it's not the gamble I want to take.
Right.
That's just me. So, you know, these are some interesting questions this week.
Yeah.
Good variety, and we really encourage this. We always love people to call in, and here's how to do it.
To stay informed and in touch with the Camaro Z28.com crew, go to the message boards at CamaroZ28.com. If you have a question for the podcast, call the Camaro Z28.com voicemail hotline. The number is 586-486-3182. That's 586-486-3182.
Okay, we got a couple more to go through then here.
Chris, Jason, hey, AJ96Z28 from the boards. Looks like you're looking for some voicemails this week, so here we go. Number one, the Synergy Green, I think it looks pretty hideous. You guys hit it on the head. It looks like that Bell Soul that was out years ago, and it's, I think, kind of tackies up the car. I mean, it reminds me of that C5 Corvette pace car many years ago, the purple with the yellow wheels and yellow leather. I mean, it just got awful. Another thing, I was just curious if you could run through this pretty quick. Your car wash and detail tips. I live in PA. We got a lot of salt in the winters. Our winter times is probably as brutal as where you guys are. So I was curious, do you wax your car with every wash? Do you clay bar it every time you wash? Wondering what frequency you use the bar and the wax on your vehicles, just kind of as needed, etc. And finally, any update on the next round of diecasts for you've been working on? You mentioned a few podcasts ago, but not much. Okay, thanks. Bye.
This is all you, man. I know
me?
You live for this stuff.
Which one? The
car care tips.
Well, first, he thinks the green is hideous.
Yeah,
that's okay.
Yeah.
That's all right. Yeah. That's cool. You know, differing opinions are
all
right.
I respect that.
Yep, I do too. I do remember the purple and yellow pace car.
Yeah, wasn't a fan of it.
But it did look kind of cool in person, at least to see.
Yeah.
So, and the guys that owned them apparently loved them. Car care tips? We should just save that for 2 months from now.
Yeah, when we take our cars out of storage.
That's right. And that's the thing. Chris, you know, you and I are fortunate enough to have a career that can at least support a second car, not a daily driver.
Right.
I don't drive mine very much, and I certainly won't drive it in the salt unless I'm taking it to the shop, which might be happening again soon.
Yeah.
More on that later. I don't know. I mean, it's.
I only do a clay bar once a year on my cars. I don't do it after every wash. I don't wax it every wash, because we're Zeno snobs here. So, I would imagine once it gets to over 60 degrees out here,
yeah,
that we'll get together and, you know, we'll do a once over with Dawn on the car, strip off any old polish, and then. Get the clay bars out, clay them out.
Yep.
And then
you know what we
throw
should
some
have?
More polish on.
We've talked about this more than once. And we used to do this all the time, a mod fest.
Oh yeah.
We should do a, you know, unwrap and polish fest.
We could do that.
Use my buddy Mike's parking lot.
Yeah, we could do that.
I don't think there's any frequency. It's you know, like a set schedule, unless you really, really like it
hardcore.
It as a hobby.
Yeah.
You know? But, you know, do it when it needs it. And the one way to tell if you need a clay bar treatment is, this is an old trick from the original Clay Magic product. They gave you a little cellophane glove to put on, and you clean your car, and then you use the cellophane glove on your hand, and you run your fingertip across the surface of the paint, and somehow it accentuates any crap stuck to it.
A little grit.
So just find some Saran wrap, wrap it around your yep. fingertip, just a single layer, and just, if it feels rough, there you go. Yeah. We'll talk more about this for sure in the future, but until then, we encourage people to use our Show and Shine section.
Absolutely.
For questions like that, or always feel free to call in like before.
Yeah.
Good questions, man.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, diecast car.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about it. I'm behind, so I'm not going to talk about it.
Next.
But it's in process. I'll just say that. And it's okay. Going to kick ass. It's going to kick ass.
Okay, we got one more.
All right. It's going to kick ass.
Hi, Chris. Hi, Jason. Garth from Connecticut. Just thought I'd call on a couple of issues. January 25th issue of Auto Week arrived, and page 9 is an interesting article on a new Camaro offered by Berger Chevrolet from Grand Rapids. So I'm certain your readers would like to hear about what's available there. I'm sure you can look at that in the magazine. The other thing is with respect to brakes, I'm just curious on your opinion on upgraded rotors. Are you a fan of drilled rotors? Drilled and slotted rotors, or just slotted rotors? And lastly, pad material. I know there's some work on the OEM side focusing on ceramic materials for pads, but I'm just interested in what you guys suggest. So hope all is well. Looks like this model from Berger is interesting, and it's prominently featured in the new Auto Week. Take care.
Good to hear from you again, Garth.
Excellent to hear from you, buddy.
Yeah, we're very familiar with Berger and their cars that they've done in the past as well. It was only a matter of time before Berger would put out a 2010 Camaro.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So, you know, it looks like the standard Berger package that they put on the car is the exhaust. And I think they got a Magnuson supercharger on there. Mm-hmm. And, you know.
And guess what?
What?
Forge line wheels. Just like mine.
Yep.
Except they're mine are a little different. Maybe anybody who's eagle eyed can spot the differences. Yeah. But definitely cool to see the tuners or, you know, the dealerships, I guess, acting as tuners, mm-hmm. getting into the biz. What was the other question?
He wants to know about rotors.
You know, when I was getting my car ready for SEMA, I wanted to put some cool rotors on it. And so I consulted one of the guys who knows their stuff, and that's Pete Basica from Petters. And I said, you know, I want to get some rotors. What would you recommend? And he honestly recommended the factory rotors.
Wow, really?
For right now. He said that if you go with, you know, one of those, you know, cheaper, less expensive $100 rotor milled or ball milled or drilled or slotted or whatever, he says the quality control isn't the same. And it changes the integrity of the rotor if the holes are not cast into it. And there's a lot of argument about this. You know, some people think it's true or some people don't. But it creates stress on it, and they could shatter. They
really
come apart.
Wow.
Now, the odds of that are probably pretty slim. But, you know, if you're doing, you know, 80, 100, 125, do you want the centrifugal force to pull that thing apart?
Yeah, really.
And not be able to stop and have it maybe possibly jam your passenger side front wheel and careen you into an object that's not going to move no matter how hard you hit it?
Doesn't sound fun to me.
However, I believe there's probably some new schools of thought, and there are products you can buy. This right now, as far as I know, they're very pricey. DBA in Australia, I think, the Disc Brakes Authority. God, what's the name of that company? They carry rotors, but they're like expensive as heck. They are ridiculous. They're like a race style rotor. Check.
And the company that actually makes the OEM rotors for the Camaro offer upgrades too, right?
Is it Brembo?
Brembo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know that they're working on it. I don't know if it's out yet or not.
I think we saw it at SEMA.
Did we? Yeah, I'd lose track after a while. Check the 2010 Camaro suspension, chassis, and brakes form. Post in there. The Petters guys will probably jump in.
Yeah.
That form is sponsored by Retrod Motorsports, and I think they carry the DBA rotors. You might want to check their website. The link is right there. So, good question on that one.
Wow, we had a lot of good questions this week.
Yeah, this is really, really good stuff. So, what's next?
Ooh, I think that's it.
You sleepy?
I'm sleepy, yeah. Yeah, I think it's been an action-packed episode. We
have
a lot of
this
questions.
This is great. I guess thing I want to, since we're talking about aftermarket parts and whatnot, a lot of people wanted to know, where is it here? I got to find it. I want to make sure I'm thinking of the right place. How headers fit on the 2010 Camaro. And I've got the Borla headers. Very, very happy with them. And I actually made a thread a while back. called Photos of 2010 Camaro Borla Long Tube Headers Compared to Stock Manifolds. And somebody asked how the fitment was. Well, it just so happened I had a video of them sliding at Vector Motorsports, or sliding one of the headers into position, and it's a 9-second video.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it just slides right in with minimal effort. Once the factory manifold and exhaust system and dipstick is removed, it glides in like butter.
See, we should tweet that. Install headers in 9 seconds.
That's a good idea.
There you go.
That's a real good idea. So the thread can be found in the 2010 LS3 and L99 V8 aftermarket discussion forum.
Cool. I'll link it up.
Yeah, cool. So, you know, this is a cool episode. And we started out going, do we have enough to talk about? Oh, yeah.
Oh,
as
yeah.
As always, we do. Yeah. And as always, we thank everybody for listening and calling in and sharing your thoughts and ideas on just about anything we've covered.
Every week after week after week.
You know, subscribe in iTunes.
Yeah.
What's the other usual tidbits we tell people to do?
You can follow us on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
Twitter.com/CamaroZ28.com. And we got a Facebook fan page, too.
Yep.
Someone was asking about that. We posted a link to it in the site news and suggestions forum. So that's linked up there.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
We love interacting with you. Thank you for listening.
We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Camaro Z28.com podcast. If you have questions or comments for Chris and Jason, call our voicemail hotline, 586-486-3182. Or send your comments by email, webmasters@CamaroZ28.com. Once again, thank you for listening to Camaro Z28.com podcast. We'll see you next week.